Well, certainly scripture is emphatically different than health and wealth gospel. I mean, there are people who say, oh, well, if you're talking about happiness now, you're getting into health and wealth gospel. Oh, not at all. Scripture talks about any number of things that are abused in concept. In fact, even the word love is a word that's tremendously abused. I mean, think of all the popular music where the word love means basically fornication or adultery, you know, like making love to somebody that you're not married to. And so do we look at that and say, well, love's a bad thing then? Love's a bad word. We're not going to use that word love anymore, so we're not going to say, for God so loved the world. Well, no, of course not. What we do is we say, God redeems the word love. Yes, it can be misused. The word happiness can be misused. You know, but don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. It's a good word historically. The Puritans used it all the time. Spurgeon used it all the time. Wesley, all these different English-speaking traditions spoke of happiness in God, happiness in Christ. So regarding health and wealth, Scripture simply does not promise the many things that we are promised today by prosperity preachers. It does not at all promise that we won't be facing trials. It promises that we will be facing trials and that God will bring Christ-likeness out of them. 1 Peter 4 says, don't be surprised, brothers, at the fiery ordeal you are experiencing as though something strange were happening to you. You know, Paul says to Timothy, he who would live in godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said, John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So, you know, Paul and Jesus are the ultimate manifestations of how wrong prosperity theology is. Because if prosperity theology were true, then the easiest, most healthy, and most wealthy lives there have ever been would have been Jesus, number one, obviously, and probably Paul on the short list anyway. And instead, you have Jesus who talks about not having a place to, you know, lay his head, you know, and obviously he's not in abject poverty, but he is dependent upon the support of other people, and he's going around and he did not own hardly anything except maybe the seamless garment, you know, that's on him. And then you've got Paul, who talks about in 2 Corinthians, in what, chapter 10 or so, he talks about all of the suffering that he's undergone. And in 2 Corinthians 12, he talks about his thorn in the flesh. He has got a physical ailment of some sort that is nagging, and he asked the Lord to remove it three times, and God did not remove it, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm going to use this thorn in the flesh in your life. Well, the thorn in the flesh is not an example of being healthy. It's being unhealthy, and God uses his lack of health to accomplish a higher purpose in Paul's life. So clearly that is what we should see when we read Scripture. Does God ultimately promise us health, and you could call it wealth too, forever? Yes, in the resurrection and on the new earth. But let's not lay claim to something now that God has promised us for the glorified state where we will live with him forever as resurrected beings on the new earth.